They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining me today, we have an old friend, Sarah Benson. Sarah is amazing. She is a broker in Chicago, and she has taken on the HOA condo issue full force. One of the things, in addition to starting her own company, where she actually evaluates condominiums especially, and I think HOAs as well, right?
Correct, yes.
And what the other thing she's doing now is taking a survey to find out what people want. CAI has taken a number of surveys over the years, and they claim to talk to homeowners, but when you look at the results, it's very obvious that they talk to themselves on those surveys. So, Sarah, you've put out a survey, and we're going to talk about that survey today and find out what you hope to achieve and how people can respond to it.
Well, excellent. We are looking for as many responses as we can get so that we can get the word out about the experiences people are having in their association-governed communities, what their concerns are and what they see as problem areas or not.
You put this together?
I did not put it together. Deborah, I had some input. Deborah Goonan, who you know,
yes.
She really worked hard in crafting the questions along with, I think Nyla had a little bit of input as did I, but I would give Deborah Goonan the majority of the credit there.
So the questions, and I think there's a little confusion because the questions start out with rate the following HOA issues, but it's not, and I want my listeners to understand this, it's not issues that you personally have had, but whether you perceive them to be a problem, right? Am I correct in that?
Exactly. It has. We've had a few questions from respondents, and they wanted to know, is this just my community or the association industry at large? And you can answer it either way. It's the survey is designed to poll the responders as to what their perception of where the problems are, if any. And based on the responses we're getting, most people are rating problems very serious, such as in the area of association transparency. We asked, would you consider lack of transparency, is it a minor problem, a major problem, or a very serious problem? And 86% of the people stated that they thought it was a very serious problem.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All of this business about it's your community and you are a member. And, you know, when something happens, CAI blames the homeowner because the homeowner has not provided the oversight that's necessary to allow this to happen. I had members of CAI on the show right after a big story broke about huge embezzlement issues. And they looked at me and said, what's wrong with the homeowners? Why aren't they providing the oversight that's necessary? It's the apathy that's the problem. But it's not. It's the lack of transparency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you also have financial mismanagement. Some owners, whether they can get copies of the documents or not, some owners will be aware of it if they ask questions. But many owners are blind. They don't want to know. and they don't care. They apparently don't care, but they might be snowbirds and in another state. But somebody needs to be keeping an eye on their finances, the finances of the association.
What other things are jumping out? We'll go through some of the questions in a little while and talk about individual questions and figure out why, why we're asking them and what the issues are. But did anything else jump out at you? You said 86% say lack of transparency, financial mismanagement. What else are you running into?
Well, the lack of transparency was the number one issue, and with the 86% of respondents stating it was a very serious problem. And then we had a tie for second place, a three-way tie, and that is financial mismanagement, lack of apathy and lack of involvement, and lack of due process. All three of these, 77% of responders said these were very serious problems.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So lack of due process, financial mismanagement, and apathy and lack of involvement, all three of these were rated very serious problems by 77% of responders.
That's interesting. Are you getting, you've got some pretty specific questions here, and I have a copy in my hands right now, and so we can go through some of these. But for anybody listening, I'm going to post a link on my Facebook. I'll post a link. I'll post a link, and it's on my website. So go to my website on thecommons.us, and you will find a link to the survey. Please click on that link. It'll take you to the survey, and please respond. Remember, this is not about your association, but your perception of whether or not there is a huge problem, right?
Correct.
And go to your website. It's on your website?
It is not on our website, no.
Okay.
It is on LinkedIn. On my profile on LinkedIn and in a number of condo and HOA groups forum. But it's not currently on the website. We are sending it out via email.
Okay.
Or you can go to the LinkedIn website. It should be noted that all information is confidential. We are not sharing any of this information outside of just what the responses are. We're not sharing people's identities. We're not connected with any management companies. We're not connected with the Community Associations Institute or the National Association of Realtors. This is strictly an independent survey of homeowners in association-governed communities.
How refreshing.
Very confidential. Yeah, how refreshing.
How refreshing, how refreshing. It's not industry-driven. It's so refreshing to see that we're actually reaching out to the homeowners. So please feel free. Now, you do, on the survey, you do ask for name, phone number, email, and contact. Do you want to explain why you're doing that?
That is optional. For people that want to get involved in helping make change happen, and our ultimate goal here is to get some oversight to expose the problems and get some oversight so that homeowners can get relief. And so that information is voluntary. If somebody wants to give their information to stay in touch about any legislative issues or to be contacted, would they like to be involved in helping make change happen, they can just give us our information. And then again, that's kept confidential. We would only reach out to them if we have something to offer.
Okay, on the front of the survey, it says there's a red asterisk and it says required.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go down to the name, email, and address, it's got a red asterisk, and that's the only place that I see a red asterisk. So if it's voluntary, you may want to remove that. Because I wonder how many people are going to look at it and say, well, if I have to put my name on it, I'm not going to respond.
Right, right. Remove it. I thought it was not required, but you can put XXXX in the name field and 111111 in the number field, and it will take that as well if somebody doesn't want to be identified.
Okay, or you could just put in some kind of silly name like, I don't know, Mary Had a Little Lamb or...
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill. I was trying to think of that.
Required. Yeah. But having real people stand behind their opinions always carries more weight.
It does.
It's just like voting. When you go to vote, you need to, you know, well, you don't need identification, but you do. They do need to know who you are and get your signature, or at least make sure that's you who's in the vote in the polling booth. So the polls that are anonymous don't carry as much weight as the ones where individuals are actually, you know, disclosing their identities, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I've been doing this for such a long time, and I've noticed that a lot of people are a little hesitant to identify themselves because they're so afraid that it's going to come back and bite them. And I've always held all of these in confidence, strict mm-hmm. confidence. And, of course, I don't want anybody to be in trouble. But I do understand there is a lot of fear out there. I mean, this thing generates fear. So, you know, please don't not respond. Just please respond to this, because we definitely need some kind of a survey to find out exactly what people are doing. And we're not going to handpick people. We're not going to go and say, oh, okay, you agree with me, so we're going to talk to you, which I suspect quite often with some of the other surveys is pretty much where they get their respondents from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go through groups. But with this, it's entirely up to you. We're broadcasting it. We're putting it out on the air. We're putting it out in emails. We're putting it out all over the place. So you can, we promise that your identity will remain a secret?
Correct, and it will not be shared with any outside parties. We are completely independent. We have no affiliation to any homeowners associations whatsoever, and that information is kept strictly confidential.
So some of these questions, you want to go through some of the questions, Sarah, or should we?
That's fine, absolutely.
So some of the questions, you're supposed to rate them based on how serious you think they are. And so there are three categories: very serious, moderately serious, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Go through them. You got it in front of you? You don't. Voting and election procedures.
Well, I had the responses in front of me. Let's see here.
Okay, I'll read them and we can talk about them.
Wait. I've got it now. Go ahead.
Voting and election procedures.
Mm-hmm. Voting and election. Got it.
Voting and that's number one.
Well, that's number one on the survey, and that came back 70% of respondents said it's a very serious problem. 70% on voting and election procedures. And by the way, there is a trade show held that it travels around the country from New York to Florida, and it's also held here in Chicago, and it's called the Chicagoland Cooperator. Here it's called the Chicagoland Cooperator. And all the attendees are primarily owners and condominiums and homeowner associations and or board members. And this survey is going out to several hundred of those individuals as well.
Awesome.
Today. So we're really hoping to get some strong responses here.
So we definitely need a lot of responses. So if you're listening, go to my website. Find the survey, respond to the survey. We need to hear from you. Don't give us your name if you don't want to, if you feel uncomfortable with it. We just want to know what you think. We need numbers. That's just, you know, that's all we need is percentages, right, Sarah?
Correct. Exactly.
Apathy, lack of involvement.
That was the 77% described that as a very serious problem.
But what happens when people try to get involved?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. It depends on where you are in the country. If it's a second home or a vacation rental, or God forbid, a timeshare, you know, people just don't care. They don't care at all. And, you know, they come back 6 months later and they find that somebody confiscated their parking spot because they weren't there to watch it. That's due to the apathy and lack of involvement. And, of course, you have young families and people working on their careers. You know the problems. And so what happens is when no one steps up to the plate and you're dealing with a volunteer board, frequently that volunteer gets saddled with that duty over and over and over again. And often it turns into a personal fiefdom or something resembling a dictatorship or some form of communism. And that's why I think almost 80% of the responders are saying that that's a major problem.
It's funny, when I first got involved online and I learned how to turn my computer on, before email and before you had all of these access to all of this information on the web, there we had use groups, Usenet groups, and that was how you communicated. They were whatever you called them, boards. I'd sit down and handwrite things and then type them in. That's how bad I was. And so there were a lot of people on there who came and they complained. I think one of the worst stories I heard was from somewhere up in the Northwest. And these two friends decided it was the annual meeting, and they decided to go and find out what was going on, what happened at an annual meeting. They walked in, and the only person there was the association attorney. And he said, right, you're president, you're treasurer, secretary, or whatever. And he walked out. So they were stuck with that for those positions for years. People didn't come to the meetings. They didn't, you know, they didn't vote. They didn't do anything. And they were begging people to get involved. But then you think about that and you realize that, yeah, apathy is a problem and how it affects people. But then you go back, Sarah, and you think that people didn't buy a house to run a corporation.
Absolutely, correct.
So is it surprising that people don't want to get involved? That's not what they bought a house for, is it?
Correct, yes, yes. I was in a, I don't know, it was about a six-story elevator building with maybe 50 units not too long ago. And fully half of the units in the building were in some form of foreclosure with the big orange stickers on the doors.
Wow.
And all the lock boxes in the hallway next to the elevator. And there was a giant poster board, you know, like the kind that your children use when they're making a construction project for third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the giant poster board in the vestibule where the elevator was, and written in bold black magic marker, it said, "Please help! ! We have no board." And it's followed by three more exclamation marks. They had no board. They were begging by the elevator for anybody to step up. And I have seen this on a number of occasions where you have associations that are functioning. How they are functioning, impossible for me to think of an association functioning without anybody on the board. Sometimes someone will step up and say, okay, I'll pay the electric bill. But they are not functioning for the most part.
So what's the answer? If people don't want them, and I don't think there's any stronger way of convincing you that people don't really want this.
Not when they find out what the animal is. You know, most buyers, when they buy in, they think, oh, they have a contract for just that home. And they don't, the realtor doesn't understand, and the consumer doesn't understand the underlying contract that runs with the property. And that's the contract that binds them to that corporation. In fact, many don't even understand that these are corporations. They're not for profits, but they're required to be incorporated in many, many, many parts of the country. So that contract often is not even disclosed, the underlying contract. Sometimes it isn't even disclosed until after the closing takes place. And that's when the homeowner realizes, what did I get myself into? And even in CAI's public policy, they have on their website, they have public policy recommendations for legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as transparency and disclosure, the policy, the recommended policy by CAI is to give the documents to the purchaser prior to closing, and if not, immediately after closing. Really?
That's when I got mine.
Immediately after closing. Sometimes they don't even get them until the day of closing when your furniture is already on the moving truck.
Yeah.
And your children have to start school in a new district the next week.
Yeah.
And that's really blackmail, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. But you think with all of the stories that are out there now, that people are a little better educated about these things? But they're not, are they?
No, they really aren't. And part of that is that the realtors, the people, and the attorneys, too, they are not advising consumers as to what they're getting into, and no one is protecting the consumer. There's no consumer protection on this issue. And if the people that are helping guide purchasers in making the biggest decision financially that they will make in their lifetime, if they're not educated and trained on homeowner association and condominiums, who's going to educate the consumer? They find out the hard way by burning at the stake.
I like the way you put
it.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. I mean, that's absolutely perfect. They are burning at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? I mean, obviously, you're a broker and you're out there showing houses. Do you tell them, what do you tell your buyers?
Well, I insist on a set of protocol at the very beginning of the transaction. Prior to going into the office to write a real estate purchase contract, I insist on getting every single piece of documentation from the seller or the homeowners association, and that is the budgets, the minutes, the declaration or CC&Rs, the insurance policy, the reserve study, everything. And if they try to push off, lately what we've been seeing, Shu, as you know, not in California so much, but in other parts of the country, since the downturn, many property management companies and some associations are using those documents as a profit center.
Yes.
Here we have one association that charges for a complete set of documents to the new purchaser $1,000. And if you want to rush on that, the fee is $4,000.
You're kidding.
Where in the United States are you charged $4,000 to make a decision involving hundreds of thousands of dollars, only to find out you may want to walk away? You're not charged for the prospectus when you buy a stock. You're not charged for the rating when you buy a bond. And so now we're seeing these third-party companies coming in, and this was a result of the downturn. They needed to generate more profit. So if you want a copy of the declaration, that's $250. You want a copy of the board minutes, that's, you know, $50 a meeting. And on and on and on.
For the declaration, you can go to the courthouse and get it from the land records for a heck of a lot cheaper.
Oh, you can, but here in Cook County, they charge $4 a page. And now we're dealing with the electronic age. We're dealing with the age of the Internet. We're dealing with the click of a mouse many times. How can you charge $1,000 when it's a click of a mouse? And then they justify it by saying, well, we have to maintain the data, and we have to amend the data, and we have to post the data online. That should be included in the management contract.
It should.
And absolutely. It always was in the past.
Yeah.
And then if you want a disclosure form filled out, if you have questions about the number of lawsuits, or you have questions about the amount in reserves, or you have questions about any outstanding loans, that needs to come in the form of a questionnaire. And, of course, these things change over time. They're not static. So that questionnaire, that disclosure, needs to be updated every time there's a transaction or even maybe a refinance, or it should be updated on a regular basis. But they charge, it took time to complete the questionnaire. It took time to provide the transparency or the disclosure form. So there again, another $250 just to get answers to these questions that are imperative to the buyers making a healthy decision.
What's the answer, Sarah? What can we do? I can tell you from my experience in Virginia when the disclosure law first came out. The POA was known as the disclosure law, and everybody thought it was so great because now buyers would know what they were getting into. Well, the association could charge $50 for the package, and you know, that was plenty. Then the law changed and it went to $100, and overnight every association swore uphill and down veil that the actual cost of producing these documents was $100. Then a few years ago, they rewrote all of this stuff, and now it's the management company that gets to charge something like $300 or $400. But the money
every
goes
time.
To... Yes, every time. And our governing documents, our in my association, it's an old one, and our declaration is all of 6 pages long. It's a little booklet. They have them. They're already printed. They're ready to go. You know, there's not that much there.
And on top of those disclosures, that and what you're doing is you're trying to not only get a picture of the financial health of the association, but you're trying to get the covenants and the rules and the restrictions, right?
Yeah.
On top of getting that a copy of that underlying contract and the disclosures that go with it, many associations are charging, on top of the document fees, they're charging transfer fees.
Yes.
So, I mean, one woman recently contacted me. She had to pay $800 in transfer fees alone because she bought in an association that had, it was like 5 different associations. And each association, including the master association, charged her a transfer fee, which ended up being another $800 at the closing that no one had told her about.
And the transfer fee is for the manager to sit there at the computer and take your name out and put my name in.
And correct.
And that's
correct.
It. That's mm-hmm. all it is. And they're getting paid to maintain the books and records of the association. That's
right.
Their job. You don't mm-hmm. go into the grocery store and buy your groceries and then have to pay the cashier because she rang you up.
Exactly. Exactly. And so there's no oversight. There's no stopping. Currently, there's nothing to stop this trend. I mean, some states, Colorado has fought very hard to limit these transfer fees and to provide full disclosure, and they just keep getting railroaded by the special interest groups.
Yeah. Well, it's the special interests that are getting the money.
Right. And so, you know, you have an oversight in Washington. You have the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and one of their taglines is, know before you owe, not owe before you know. And that's what's happening in HOA land. People are buying, and they don't understand that they're buying into debt. They are owing before they know. And we're not talking small sums of money here. Outside of the charges for disclosures, provided you get the right disclosures and all that you deserve, and outside of the transfer fees, you're also dealing with that portion of the liability for any outstanding lawsuits, any outstanding loans for the association, your portion of that, any upcoming special assessments, any construction defects, any disaster rebuilds. All of these things are liability to the person buying in or the current owner.
That's
so
true.
They're really, as you know, they're getting the short end of the stick, and nobody is advocating on behalf of the consumer. So that's kind of what this poll is designed around, is to get opinions of homeowners where they see the problem areas so we can take those to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to the AARP, and we can say, we have results. These are real problems, and they need to be addressed.
We're talking to Sarah Benson. Sarah's in Chicago, and she's a broker and a staunch consumer advocate. And so if you've been listening so far, you know what we're talking about. If you just tuned in, please go to my website, please, please, please fill out, respond to the survey. You do not have to provide your name. You can tell us your name is Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse or Jack and Jill or whoever, but just tell us what you think, because we need to know what the problems are. Okay, let's go on with the list of stuff. Maintenance of major infrastructure. Maintenance of landscape and or poor aesthetic appeal.
Okay, I'm with you.
Discrimination against owners.
Yeah. These are 70% of respondents stated that they consider the area of discrimination a very serious problem.
70%.
Mm-hmm.
Theft and embezzlement.
That was right up there at the top. Financial. I'm trying to look for that. About 80%.
80%.
Mm-hmm. Theft and embezzlement. Right up there at the top.
Wow.
Right under lack of transparency.
So that's amazing. Maintenance of landscape and or poor aesthetic appeal.
Let's see. That didn't come in as high. Landscaping. That was only about 75% thought that landscaping. Wait, 75% of respondents stated that the landscaping is kept up properly. So,
so it's not a problem.
Yeah, not a problem. Thumbs up on landscaping.
It looks pristine. It's what's behind it. Here's some of my favorites. Power of the board to fine and power of the board to foreclose.
That's coming in about 72%. 72% of respondents stated there are very serious problems in the area of the power of the board to fine and foreclose. So, I mean, these compared to only 25% of people thought that their landscaping wasn't handled properly, on the reverse, 72% were concerned about the power of the board to foreclose and fine. And when you think about it, do you really want to put your neighbor in charge of issuing you fines?
No. Two courts in the country have found it to be unconstitutional. But what CAI is saying is that you agreed to it. And they said, well, you know, the Supreme Court of Virginia did not reaffirm their decision. They don't need to. They didn't overturn it. You know.
And what kind of person wants to sit on a finding committee?
Some of these nimrods who, you know, some of them do. They think it's absolutely wonderful. They think it's absolutely wonderful. Environmental hazards.
That one I didn't get the number on yet.
Okay.
I don't have a complete dossier on all the responses. I asked my assistant to pull out a few of the flagrant ones, and so that's what we got.
So basically these are just preliminary numbers. You haven't pulled the whole thing out.
Not yet. We're still gathering data. We're probably going to keep the survey open through the end of August, but the sooner the data comes in, the better. We've had very strong response so far, and they're responding. We're getting more and more responses every day. So
folks,
I'm thrilled. I'm very thrilled.
Folks, if you're listening, respond, please, 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 please. Forced termination, forced sales of a unit at a loss. Now, this is a huge problem in a lot of parts of the country. It's especially in Florida because they actually codified it, allowing it to happen. But when I've done shows on this, I've heard from attorneys across the country saying, oh, I'm dealing with one of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happening all over the country?
It is. And people are just so unaware of it. In Texas, it's a nightmare.
In Texas?
So many people on fixed incomes are losing their homes. And the same in Florida. That forced termination is just, it's criminal, in my opinion.
In Texas, it's a big problem?
Correct. There in Florida, and it's all over the country. Of course, Florida gets most of the publicity. By the way, I have the response on the environmental hazards. 77% said that environmental hazards are not a problem.
So, I mean, what would an environmental hazard be? Oil leaks?
Environmental hazards, there are a number of them. In particular, as in urban or suburban areas that are primarily built up over time, the only available land is land that was previously used as either a landfill, or it could have been industrial, or it could have been a manufacturing facility of some type with toxic chemicals. And we see this over and over and over again. So then the developer goes in, he might do some minimal cleanup, and that's the only land that's available. It's cheap, he cleans it up, he builds homes on it, and the next thing you know, those homeowners are having problems, health problems, or soil problems. So environmental hazards typically relate to things in the environment. It might be over, high power tension lines. It could be a landfill. We run into a lot of that. Or it could be an incompatible prior use that contaminated the land.
So anybody who maybe answered no might rethink that if they had more of an understanding of what the question was, you think?
Perhaps, yes. You're suggesting it be expanded a little bit.
So that it's a little more understandable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
High assessments and special assessments.
Hold on. High assessments and special assessments.
And
75% thought it was a very serious problem.
So many people are not able to make the special assessments, that especially the elderly on fixed incomes, that it is a problem. Underfunded reserves.
And that came at the same number. As we discussed previously, 72% of the associations across the country are underfunded, and only about 5% are fully funded. So underfunding is a very, very serious problem. And what you run into is the seller will say, well, I'm not going to pay a special assessment to help fund those reserves because I'm not going to get any benefit. That all goes to the new buyer, so let them pay it. And the buyer looks back at the seller and says, hey, wait a minute, you used up the roof. You were the one that used up the elevator usage. Why should I have to pay for that? So there's that struggle going on. And a lot of times that ends up in negotiations, and too often it ends up on the burden of the buyer. But either way, that whoever is buying into that association is assuming liability for that underfunding.
I'm one of those people that if you know you're going to do something, save up for it. If you want to do something, make sure the money's there. I'm not, I don't like just flying by the seats of my pants on something like that. And so I was really surprised, when I always said on the show, make sure that you've got your reserves are funded, make sure you know what you're doing. It's easier to put together a little bit of money and make sure it's there when you need it. But I was severely chastised by some of my listeners who said they did not want money sitting there. It was too tempting for whoever had access to it to walk off with it. And of course, we keep seeing these huge cases of embezzlement where managers and board members and everybody else has been sort of taking those reserves, leaving people short. What's the answer? I mean, I can see both sides. I mean, there's me who's me, and I want to be true to myself, but I can fully understand how some people would feel about making sure that there's no money sitting around there.
Shu, I wrote a 35-point manual on how to bulletproof your association's biggest asset, the money. And if a board follows only half of the recommendations that are in that bulletproof manual, they will never have a problem with theft, ever. It's everything from using check stock that cannot be duplicated to, I mean, you can alter a check with hairspray, right? You know, just put a little hairspray on it and you can erase the ink and wash that check, make it payable to yourself for $500,000.
You can? I didn't know that. Boy, things I learn on this show.
It's called check washing.
It's called hairspray, huh? Wow, who would have thought? Okay.
a little bit more, too. But check washing is a serious problem. That's why you lock your mailbox, you know, put a lock and key on it. But that 35-point manual really will guide associations. And if an owner is concerned about this, as you said, it's too tempting, all they need to do is apply the principles that are contained in that guideline, and they won't have a problem with theft. It's largely because boards don't even realize that management companies should not be in charge of your reserve fund. It needs to be completely separate, and it should have three signatures of three board members anytime there's an expenditure over, say, $2,500 or maybe $5,000, depending on what the budget is looking like. But if you follow the procedures, you're not going to have a problem. It's just that board members aren't educated, and they don't know what protocol they need to follow to protect themselves. And when it comes to theft, the only way to prevent it is by taking preventative measures.
When I was on the board, there were a lot of questions. And so I directed the manager at the time, the executive director, to have all canceled checks available on the conference table by 9 a.m. the following morning, and I invited every homeowner in the room who wanted to come and go through those checks with me. So it wasn't me doing it, and it was not hidden from anybody. And I did. I had a bunch of people who showed up, and they went through the checks, and oh, the lovely checks we found.
Mm-hmm.
The lovely checks we found. Kitty litter, you know. I
mean, Victoria's Secret.
I don't remember.
But seriously, if you follow these protocols, for example, if you don't have enough volunteers, the same person that writes the check often ends up reconciling the checkbook.
Yes.
That should never happen. It should be two different sets of eyes, unrelated eyes, not husband and wife, or, you know, pool boy and his girlfriend. It should be two sets of unrelated eyes that are examining, reconciling once a month. One person writes the checks, the other person reconciles.
There's a requirement in our governing documents to have an annual audit. And we used to get the audit, but we never got the management letter. And we, of course, most people can't read an audit.
That is true.
So we, I always insisted on getting the management letter. And, oh boy, what an eye-opener. All right, let's, parking issues, pet issues. Now, CAI always said the only problems in HOAs are the three P's: people, pets, and parking.
And I would add an R, renting.
Yeah. Actually, parking issues is what's got me here. Crime, vandalism, poor security.
I don't have a number on that right now.
Okay. But these are the types of things we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Unreasonable limitations on residents' rights in HOAs.
That came in at 60%.
That's it? Mm-hmm. That's kind of low.
That's over 50. It's more than half.
That's more than half, but yeah, I would have thought some of those would have been a little bit higher. Restrictions and rules not consistently enforced.
70%.
70%. Right now. How about not enough non-HOA options for buyers?
That came in pretty high. About 72% currently.
Yeah, I think that's a serious problem.
And I thought this was interesting. Uh, 67% of the respondents said they thought HOAs need significant reform. 67%. 21% thought that HOAs need to be abolished. And only 12% thought HOAs are okay. That's very revealing.
Yes. And there's an other category. Did anybody put anything there? Or that's not been tabulated yet?
Nobody responded. Everybody had an opinion, so there wasn't anything under the other yet.
So only 21% thought they needed to be abolished?
Correct. And 67% thought that HOAs need significant reform,
okay,
which is very telling. Almost 70%.
So that is telling. Now, okay, they need reform. Do we know how they need to be reformed?
That's not part of the. Using the answers. We're using the answers to the top of the survey to determine what recommended reform should be. And obviously, transparency is at the top of the list at 86%. That disclosure, full disclosure. And then the financial mismanagement, those things that are right, a lack of due process, that type of thing.
So go on.
The power of the board to fine. These things are coming in, power of the board to foreclose. These are all coming in well over 70%. So once we have all the responses from the to the survey, that will determine, as you said, your question was what kind of reform. The answers to this would formulate what type of reform would be recommended.
So you go on. I mean, those were the original set of questions, but it's a really detailed survey, which I like. And it goes on, during your lifetime, and have you owned an HOA, non-HOA? But it goes on to ask for personal information in this, not, nothing spectacular, guys, don't get panicky. Have you been involved in a dispute with your HOA? Had an unresolved dispute with an HOA? Had your home foreclosed on by a bank? Had your home foreclosed on by an HOA? Taken legal action against your HOA? Had your HOA taken the... So I think this is going to give us an idea of what's happening in HOAs. There's some really good questions here. Filed a complaint against your HOA with a state agency. I would like to know if you have what the response was.
We have not tabulated those responses yet.
Okay. No, but I'm asking the listeners, if you have filed a complaint against your HOA with a state agency, what kind of response did you get? There was a time when some of the legislators and some of the agencies, government agencies, would refer people to me when they called to complain or they filed a complaint. They said, we don't know how to help you. Call SHU. That's pretty
interesting.
Yeah, isn't that telling? They don't do that. They haven't done that. Filed a complaint against your HOA with a federal agency. What kind of responses are you getting? I know some states have some really good, agencies. New Jersey had something a while back. I don't know if they still do. And it went through, I think, the Consumer Affairs.
Mm-hmm. 60% of the respondents stated that they have made efforts to, in the past, to write state elected officials regarding HOA regulation. And only 51% of respondents stated that they had made efforts in the federal arena, elected officials regarding HOA regulation. So more people are requesting help or writing their officials at the state level. Only 51% are seeing the big picture and trying to write federal officials to make them aware of the problem. And again, I really believe that this realm should fall under the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as it relates to disclosure. If they're forcing disclosure of all the charges that are on the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, or what we call the HUD-1, which is now morphing into a new disclosure that's making it easier for a borrower to understand all the costs associated with their loans, they should definitely have one for HOAs for a borrower to have full disclosure of all the costs associated with that homeowners association or condo association. So this falls right under their umbrella. And again, it goes back to the, know before you owe.
I like that. Know before you, absolutely. Know before you owe. Good. Thank you for doing this, by the way.
Give Deborah Goonan the credit. she is brilliant when it comes to thinking these things through analytically. And I would also credit Mike Riley for putting it in the form of the Google format so that we could actually get the poll going and get the responses in. So it takes a village,
It does, and I think. And it does, and you've had a lot of help, and I do appreciate that.
Well, and your support is always invaluable. I can't thank you enough for putting it on your website, really. I thank you for having me on your show today.
Well, I want to make sure that we get this, because we need something to come back with. I know from talking to people, and I also know that a lot of people are really loath to have their names involved or to tell their stories, and I've had some really, really horrible stories. So it's nice to know that we're just getting numbers. We're just getting, of the so many responses, this is what we're getting, and these are the responses we're getting. But I want to reiterate that it is not your association. It is what you perceive as a problem across the board with associations, correct?
Correct.
And again, if you don't, and the reason you have the name and what you're trying to do is ask if they would be willing to help write letters and do all sorts of things, right?
Oh, just be involved in making change happen. That is the ultimate goal. We need change. We need reform. And it's not going to happen unless we organize and unless we have one unified voice. And so that's why we're, if you want to take part in making change happen and see it happen in your lifetime, give us your information. Let us know if you're willing to volunteer. Write us, email us, take part in the survey.
Absolutely, that's a first step. Take part in the survey and get it out there. Get it out there. So, well, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Shu.
Good luck.
Well, I'm a little elbow grease and some little tiny bit of luck, and we're going to get there. We'll definitely get there, and I appreciate your posting that survey, really.
We will get there, and it's nice to know that there are people out there who are willing to roll their sleeves up and do something other than play the role of a king or
Indeed. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and listening.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.